This is the Jerry Vader Show.
.906 U.S. gained 200,000 jobs in January. Wages picked up. Unemployment rate hovered at lowest level in 17 years. The Dow responds by being down 350 points. Actually, it is somewhat responding to that. Inflation fears. The Fed policy winding down combined with rising wages leading to inflation fears. It's just, it's been a long time since there's been a rough week for the Dow. Yeah. Uncertainty at the Fed. Good point, Earl. So, anyway, that little tidbit. I want to start this hour, and Earl, I was remiss in my duties here. FX14575 in just a bit, and we're also going to have a guest later in this half hour as we are talking about what happened yesterday in Brown County Circuit Court. Let me just read the piece that Sam Moritak and I co-authored at Media Trackers, a little bit of it. Brown County Circuit Court Judge Kendall Kelly gave the appearance of a new hire looking for an employee's manual in his first hearing as a newly appointed John Doe judge Thursday. Kelly laid out three series of questions to attorneys and principals in the courtroom designed to determine what he can and cannot do with the controversial John Doe probe, which the Wisconsin Supreme Court terminated. The courtroom was populated by John Doe prosecutors, other government officials, and perhaps the most famous of the probe's targets, Eric O'Keefe, whose role as director of Club for Growth of Wisconsin put him in investigative crosshairs. The probe included early morning home raids, targeted conservative political activity in Wisconsin, activity that O'Keefe points out was perfectly legal at the time. It was a packed courtroom except for one thing, the media. I was there. Sam Moritak, also of Media Trackers, was there with me. Matt Kittle of the MacIver Institute was there. I did see a USA Today Network Wisconsin reporter and Wisconsin Public Radio. There are four television stations in town, one that lives across the street. None of them covered this. I find that fascinating. So what Judge Kelly did is solicited briefs on the issues he raised from those present in the courtroom and others participating via telephone. He said briefs that go beyond the scope of three things, those three issues he raises, would not be considered. What are those three issues? What is the legal status of the John Doe investigation? It was seized by the state Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court refused to consider reopening it. So he's asking, what really can I do? This thing technically doesn't exist anymore. I've been appointed. Randy Koshnick made me John Doe judge of what? Was I appointed captain of the Titanic? What do I do here? Which version of the statute applies to further actions in these investigations? The statute involved here that the investigation claimed that they were violating has been changed anyway. So which one would he apply? And third, what is the independent authority of the John Doe judge after a case has been completely resolved by the Wisconsin Supreme Court with complete authority over the John Doe judge? The Supreme Court shut this thing down. What can he do? These are fascinating questions. Now, he didn't say this, but he seemed to almost be saying, why am I here? Convince me we have a reason to be here. If you're Eric O'Keefe or attorneys for O'Keefe and the other targets, convince me that I can do what Brad Schimmel wants and issue contempt sanctions. Convince me I can do that. If you can't, then we really don't need to be here. Now, after the hearing, I and the aforementioned Matt Kittle and the aforementioned reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio interviewed Eric O'Keefe, who you heard on this show yesterday. It's about 9 minutes long, 9 minutes long, or something like that. It's here's what's very interesting about this is we asked Eric, well, what do you make of what the judge said and did today? And Eric had some very interesting answers. Earl, go ahead.
You hear today that spiked your interest. What brought you here, I guess, all the way up to Brown County?
Well, this is actually, we're 4.5 years after the day when prosecutors raided family homes and woke children in their beds and launched me on a path of exposing and terminating the John Doe. And this is actually the first time we have seen a John Doe judge. This is the fourth John Doe judge in John Doe 2 alone, but the first time we've seen one. And I'd say a couple of things I learned here are Judge Kelly has clearly studied the Supreme Court ruling, which ruled that the John Doe was conducted without foundation in reason or law. He cited two concurring opinions, that of Ziegler and Prosser, and that focus on different aspects of the law. Interestingly, so he has studied the decisions of the court while not looking at any of the sealed documents. So he comes here in an interesting position where he's asking those who've been involved for a long time for their opinions on his authority and the range of his jurisdiction. That I was a little surprised by that. One interpretation would be he's coming in and saying, say I have a new job, could you please tell me what it involves? And I'm sure that my attorneys will have extremely helpful advice for him.
Put another way, Eric, it seems he seemed to be saying, convince me I have authority here to do anything.
Well, he even asked a pretty fundamental question. Now, attorneys were here for the Attorney General, and some of that was really questions for them. I think he was asking them what authority he has. As I understand it, and some of you may check on this, I would think that he was appointed by the Chief Justice, which suggests
he was
the
not.
Opinion of the Supreme
he was
Court
not.
Is that he does have some useful authority going forward. So I think he was asking really broad questions and inviting people here who don't want to hear anything else about the John Doe. Now, I'm in the unusual position of having fought hard to close down the John Doe and now wanting some work done by somebody on behalf of the taxpayers of Wisconsin to get some justice because of the abuses that happened. Remember, this is responsive to the Attorney General's report finding significant sloppiness and even potential crimes out of the Government Accountability Board and illegally appointed Special Prosecutor Francis Schmitz, who attended today. So there was an invitation by the Attorney General that I would say was to either the State Supreme Court or a John Doe judge or both to look at sanctions. That's why this happened. But I think out of an abundance of fairness to the parties who now have the light on them, the people recommended for sanctions who were represented here, I think that Judge Kelly was offering them every opportunity to say, you can't do anything to us as a John Doe judge.
Speaking of fairness, you have today in court, you had an interesting moment. I know on several occasions throughout the legal process, through your lawsuit against some of the parties who were here today, you have seen them from time to time in court. But it's been a while since you've seen Francis Schmitz, the prosecutor, the special prosecutor, who was declared by this Supreme Court as someone who conducted a perfect storm of wrongs against people who did nothing wrong. What was that like for you, sitting this close to the man who had access to hundreds of thousands of emails, your personal email, and others like David Robles and John Chisholm and Bruce Landgraf?
It was creepy to be in the courtroom with Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm, Dane County District Attorney Ismael Azan, Assistant District Attorneys in Milwaukee, Landgraf and Robles, as well as Francis Schmitz's illegally appointed special prosecutor. It was creepy, I would say that. And they conducted an investigation that was illegal from inception. Its motive was political. Its purpose was political. Its tactics violated the Constitution of the United States, Constitution of the State of Wisconsin. And to those who haven't heard me say this, our actions at the Wisconsin Club for Growth have always been legal in Wisconsin. What we did has always been legal. It didn't depend on some recent U.S. Supreme Court decision to make it legal. The raids on family homes of people with no criminal record in the dark have never been proper, legal, or constitutional in Wisconsin. So I would like to see some justice for the people who attacked us under color of law. And today may be the beginning of that process.
Now, there was an interesting moment in the courtroom and some other things I want to talk about. We'll get to that with a guest in 5 minutes or so. It is 9:17.
The Jerry Bader Show.